From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. The uprising in Syria is nearly 2 years old. What began as a protest movement has turned into a fight to the death. Across Syria, anti-government rebels are battling government troops. But some parts of the country remain true to the idea of a nonviolent uprising. NPR's Kelly McEvers has this story about one town in northern Syria that's known as the conscience of the revolution.
It's called Kaframbel. It means Garden of the Nobles. To say Kaframbel is beautiful would be wrong.
We're standing on the roof overlooking Kaframbel. You can see the rocky hills, the olive trees, and the fig trees that surround the town. This used to be kind of a sleepy town of 30,000 people, and then it rose up against the government. The town in August was, quote-unquote, liberated by the rebels. But the fighting didn't really stop there. Government forces then punished the town for months and months afterwards with mortars, artillery, and the occasional airstrike. So to look out over the town now is to see empty houses and houses that have been destroyed by government forces.
It's not Kaframbel's looks that have made it so famous. It's the fact that Kaframbel has something to say. Every Friday, as Syrians across the country go out to demonstrate, Kaframbelis stand out with their sophisticated posters. Their witty, sarcastic slogans and vivid caricatures instantly go viral on Facebook. At first, the slogans only targeted the Syrian government. Stop killing us with your tanks. Then they went after the international community. Let us die, but do not lie. By now, they've become the unofficial spokestown of the Syrian uprising. Talk to a Syrian on a Saturday, and he'll reference Kaframbel's slogans from Friday. The town's so well known that young urban Syrians are flocking to the place, setting up shop in a rural backwater they'd never even heard of before. Maya Mesh is one of them.
Well, Kaframbel is one of the very few that works on expressing itself very clearly. Actually, I wrote several times on Facebook, like, Kaframbel, I'm in love with Kaframbel, long before I visited Kaframbel.
Maya and the local activists have started a program to show cartoons and music videos to displaced children living in schools. Maya's own family has no idea she's here. She says they'd worry too much about the government shelling that continues even now. But she says that's better than trying to work in her hometown, Syria's capital, where activists like her are detained, tortured, and sometimes killed.
I'm okay with shelling, but not detention, I guess. That's why I'm here, not in Damascus. I mean, Damascus, it's more of raids and detention, and you cannot work freely. But here, it's just fine. You just die, and that's it. You know, it's fine. No, it is because you can work freely. You saw us. You cannot do this work in Damascus at all. You cannot have this meeting here. You here with us. In Damascus, it's not the same.
Maya and the other activists hang out in an abandoned house that's become the unofficial media center in Kaframbel. Carpets cover the concrete floor. Everyone sits on thin mattresses. It's late on a Thursday night. The weekly demonstration is the next day. It's time to make the posters. The brain behind Kaframbel is a bawdy, middle-aged guy with dark blue eyes and an impressive nose named Raed Faris. Right now, Raed is stressed. He just got back from a meeting with Jabhat al-Nusra, the hardline Islamist group that's also fighting to bring down the Syrian government. While the secular activists and the Islamists share the same goal now, Raed and his friends worry what the Islamists will do later. The Islamists have told Raed they'll stage their own demonstration the next day. Raed tells his friends he begged the Islamists to hold just one unified demo, but they refused. Raed stares at his laptop for what seems like a long time.
So we're all sitting around this room, and Raed is typing out different slogans on his laptop, so we're trying not to describe it. You finished? What is it? World, your carelessness produced extremists like Assad. Now we need extremists to get rid of your products.
Okay, so it's a little awkward, but the meaning is clear. The world's refusal to intervene and stop the killing of civilians in Syria has only made Syria's president, Bashar al-Assad, stronger. Now the only way to defeat him is with the help of extremist fighters. Raed uses a ruler to draw lines on a massive white cotton banner, then gets to work with his paintbrush. The next day is Friday. About 150 dudes flock to the town's main square, where shelling by government forces has reduced many buildings to rubble. The posters are unveiled.
Here comes the unfurling.
Everyone poses for the requisite Facebook photo. Then the Islamists show up. They've got about 300 guys. Black flags, long beards. The people want an Islamic caliphate, they chant. Ra'ed's group responds. Hey, hey, ho, ho, we want a secular state. The secularists try a more unifying chant. One, one, one. The Syrian people are one.
So basically what's happening right now is we're like competing things going on. They're trying to say slogans that will sort of unite both sides, but there's definitely one group standing on one side and another group standing on the other one.
A guy up on a roof tells the crowd not to fight over slogans. The Islamists' response is the same. The people want an Islamic caliphate.
So that didn't work out very well. There was competing slogans the whole time. Now the Islamists are going to continue their protests down the street, and a lot of people are following them.
Ra'ed looks defeated.
So I'm not fine. What about you?
Now Kafranbil is two halves, he said. These Islamists are getting strong. Still, by the time the Islamists have made the rounds through town and come back to the square, their numbers have already dwindled. In the end, they're not so strong. Kelly McEvers, NPR News.